I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and we're back with Stuart Ashton, Operations Manager at CBJ Recycle Works. We have some more things we want to talk about, but I want to take a step back and clarify some misconceptions that I had about commingling recycling versus what the city does. So can you kind of restate what it was that I was wrong about?
Yeah, absolutely. So the recycling center located at the landfill is a contracted service that we contract with the local landfill, and they do that. And that's where you bring your stuff pre-sorted, put it in its areas, and then leave. The pickup service, the commingle at your homes and businesses and wherever they offer it, that's run by Alaska Waste, the local garbage collection service. That's not a contracted thing. That's just that's a private business offering a service. And, yeah, again, recycling is good no matter how you do it.
Gotcha. And the commingling rules as far as what you can put in are a little different when it comes to plastics.
Yeah.
So we should just check out the website and think about what's the best option for us, like you had said before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Thank you for clarifying that for me. I'm learning so much today.
Good.
Well, Stuart, something else you wanted to talk about today is the relocation of the hazardous household waste facility. So first off, can you go over what constitutes hazardous household waste and how your facility processes it?
Yeah. So the household hazardous waste obviously takes hazardous stuff. Anything in your house that has any chemical, you know, just your Windex stuff, your cleaning supplies, your paint, your glues, just anything like that, that is obviously something you don't want to put in a local landfill. You definitely do not want to put it down the drain. Mm. That's what the Household Hazardous Waste HHW facility is for. And locally, we contracted with a Clean Harbors is our contractor, and they staff it with two people. And for Friday and Saturday, public go and drop off your e-waste and anything that's hazardous, almost anything. There's some radioactive stuff that you'll have to go elsewhere, but generally all hazardous stuff can go through there, oils, greases, and things like that. And it gets packaged up, sorted, and sent down to a facility down south, depending on what it is, dictates where it goes next.
And like we talked about before, it includes household appliances, things like vacuums, maybe blenders, TVs, things like that. Yeah,
the general rule is pretty much if it has an electrical cord, we'll take it, except large refrigeration units, we do not. Basically, if it's under 3 feet tall, it could still come in. But large refrigerators, freezers, things like that, we definitely don't. Washers and dryers, that's too much metal. That's basically a scrap metal recycling aspect. But yeah, general appliances.
Great. Well, I've used the current location a few times. It's nice and easy with the drive-through option and pretty good hours. Where will it be relocated?
It's actually going to be across the parking lot from the new recycling center.
Okay.
We just finished contracts, and building will start here pretty quick, well, weather allowing and whatnot. And we hoping September, October is when we're hopefully going to be over there and operating out of our new place, one-stop location for recycling, HHW, garbage.
And apart from the location, any other changes we should be aware of? Will there be a change to hours or processes?
Not at this time. The volume that Juno produces for household hazardous waste is pretty high. Matter of fact, years ago it started with different they do weekend events and whatnot, and they had to up it because there was just so much material here that we had to staff, you know, regularly. So 2 days for the public and 1 day for businesses and then 1 day for processing is how it's structured right now. Right now our numbers have been pretty steady, and it's working the way it is right now. So at this time, nothing coming and changing as far as HHW.
Same hours?
Yep.
Great. Well, anything else you want to mention about that people should be getting ready for?
As far as HHW, no, it's, you know, central location. That's pretty much it on that topic.
Is that exciting for your organization? Are you guys looking forward to having that new location? How does it help you? What's the benefit?
Well, other than the one-stop location, making your weekend trip to Costco, stop off and dump your stuff off, and then cross the street and go down that way to the brewery or whatnot and the businesses. Other than that, operationally, my office will be over there, and so I'll be able to oversee the recycling center, which would be really nice because lots and lots of questions stem from the recycling center. People will be like, "Oh, you can't do that. You can't do this." And me being on site, it'll be nice to get in there with the public more and just pass out more information.
Cool. All right. And then another thing that we haven't talked about yet is junk vehicles. No, that's another thing you wanted to discuss today. Mm-hmm. What is the status of junk vehicles in our region?
Well, if you have a vehicle that has been registered in Juneau and you no longer want it, you can fill out a form and bring it to our contractor and leave it, and we will take care of it, or our contractor will take care of it. Part of your registration, the motor vehicle tax, is it pays for that program. So it gives you a place to get rid of it. Otherwise, to get rid of a vehicle is pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. So we figured we'd forward fund it through that and, yeah, just make it easier. And hopefully that will continue to stem the abandoned vehicles issues that we have in Juneau. So the more we let people know, like, you don't want it, bring it to us.
It's a good incentive for maintaining your car registration. I mean, not only is it legal, but...
Yes, very much so.
Nice to know that when your car no longer has a life to it, mm-hmm. there's not going to be a huge cost associated with letting it go.
Yeah.
You can save it for the car funeral.
Exactly. And it's been growing. In 2017, we processed 350 vehicles. 18, we did 400. And 19, we did 600. And this year, we're on track to hit 900 to 1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Lots of cars that are unwanted.
That is a lot. Do you have any idea what's causing the increase?
People knowing about it, probably. Yeah. It's been in effect for quite a while. We did a little bit more advertisement and altered some stuff and just basically kept telling people, bring it here. And people are doing it.
Cool. And they can continue to do so.
Yes.
All right. So that's working out for you and for us.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. I think the last thing I wanted to talk about today is the lifespan of the landfill. What's important about this? What made you put it on the list of things to discuss today?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a short landfill life. It's roughly 20 years. Every 5 years, they do another update to their permitting and whatnot, and we get that new date. But at this point, or the last one was, we have roughly 20 years left. And whether that what comes next is kind of the big question. Whether it's a CBJ thing, whether it's Alaska Waste thing or Waste Management, there's, three different entities, or even an entity that's not in Juneau. Something else is going to have to happen, whether that's a new landfill or a transfer station and shipping all of our garbage out to Oregon. Something is going to change, and it's probably going to cost a lot more money. So the more that we're able to actually divert, we can keep the doors open for that landfill longer, and the more that we separate the different type of categories and actually locate places where they're going to take the scrap metal here and this and wood debris and, just the whole thing. The more we can separate it out, the cheaper it will be for Juneau residents to get rid of stuff down the road when that actually happens.
Okay. A couple questions about that. As an individual consumer, I feel like I can make some changes to help with that. I'm doing a lot already. I recycle, I compost.
Mm-hmm.
And I dispose of hazardous waste in the proper, proper way. Is there anything else that consumers can be doing?
Well, beyond, maybe check out the composting. Juneau Compost, that business over there. They've been doing some awesome stuff. Lisa's running that. And, maybe check that out. That's definitely another avenue for a good chunk. About 30% of garbage in general is compostable stuff, and that's going into our local landfill, an unlined landfill.
30% is a lot.
Yeah, it really, really is. That's definitely another avenue. I've got a worm farm at home that I've been building up and trying to utilize getting rid of the stuff that way, because into the landfill is just the smell that we all know and love. That's what it's from. It's from all of the stuff that could be compostable and turned into something else elsewhere. So, yeah, that's my recommendation, is check out that one. In addition, the real effect, if everyone could get on board, is reduce and reuse. If you got to buy something, check out the packaging. Actually look into a little bit more of what you're going to purchase, what you need to purchase, how. Is there another environmentally friendly way? Is there local sources so we don't have to ship it? General good stewards of the world,
So that's great advice for individual consumers. But we probably don't generate as much waste as, say, some of the businesses, small and large, around town.
Mm-hmm.
What can they do to also lessen the impact on the landfill?
Recycling is the number one. As far as recycling in Juneau, businesses bring in a very, very large amount. It's probably 60 to 70 in the summertime. 80% of all recycling is cardboard / paper from businesses. So as long as they continue to utilize that, and the ones that don't, hopefully they can get on board, because it's absolutely cheaper for anyone to dump your stuff off free of charge to get it recycled, as long as it's separated correctly, as opposed to go paying the tipping fee at the landfill. Businesses, you know, that stuff definitely utilize the recycling center. And the HHW, I don't think a lot of people know that HHW also includes fry oil and cooking oil, things like that, stuff that is absolutely not supposed to go into our sewer systems and is actually wreaking quite a bit of havoc when it is happening. It makes the process much more expensive. It's definitely an issue. And so if you're a business, recycle everything you can, please, and bring us your fry oil and cooking oil, which is another free charge. You just got to get it to us, dump it in the container, write down your stuff so I can track it, and on your way.
Got it. Even if we do all that, is the landfill going to – can we make it last forever?
I mean, if yes, anything is possible. with enough money, ordinances, and public support, we can do anything. Absolutely.
Well, thanks again so much for speaking with me today. Stuart Ashton, Operations Manager at CBJ Recycle Works. I know I had a lot of questions for you. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you want to make sure that you speak to our listeners about today while you're here?
Check out our website. Like I said, it's junorecycling.com. I'm trying to make it as super simple and easy, easy as possible. And reach out to me. My contact information on there, phone, email. Let me know what you think. The more I know what the public and businesses, just Juno in general, wants, definitely is going to affect what I should be focused on. So let me know what you think.
Thank you. And don't forget to look out for the Curious Juno feature. Adeline Baxter spoke to Stuart for some questions about where recycling goes when it leaves Juno. And so if you want to get the KTOO news team perspective, be sure to keep an eye out for that article. Stuart, again, thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate you answering all my questions.
Thanks for having me.